as a reminder of God's presence in this moment of worship. And I also invite you that today is a communion Sunday. So during the prelude, as you're listening to Perry's prelude, you're invited to go to your pantry, find a piece of bread, or Jim even has a cracker, but something that symbolizes the bread, and then also you're invited to get something that symbolizes the juice, the wine at communion, and we'll partake in that later in the service. So let us prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude. Thank you, Perry, for that beautiful prelude. I wish we were in the sanctuary to hear it, but it sounded wonderful. Thank you so much for lifting that to us today. Welcome to Grace United Church of Christ. We're so glad that you can be with us. No matter where you are or who you are on your life's journey, you are welcome here at Grace. And we are so glad you're with us. For all those on Zoom and those who are retroactively joining us on Facebook, you are welcome here in this place for worship. Just a reminder, today we are celebrating communion. So if you have elements that can of bread and juice, you're welcome to get those and put them in front of you, or you're also welcome to use a substitute, knowing that the Spirit will work through what we have, and God's grace is that big. I also give a thanks for Jim, working on our technology, for Perry and his music, Jack, our liturgist, and Terry, who brought in flowers for the sanctuary. So we give thanks for all those who have put together this service this morning. And with that, we invite Jack to open us up with the call to worship.
Jesus says, "Come to me, everyone. When I play a joyful tune,
we'll dance.
When I sing a lament,
we'll weep.
When I chant for justice,
we'll sing along."
Our scripture readings today, there are two. The first comes from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. "I don't know what I'm doing because I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do the thing I hate. But if I'm doing the thing that I don't want to do, I'm agreeing that the law is right. But now I'm not the one doing it anymore. Instead, it's the sin that lives in me. I know that good doesn't live in me, that is, in my body. The desire to do good is inside me, but I can't do it. I don't do the good that I want to do, but I do the evil that I don't want to do. But if I do the very thing that I don't want to do, then I'm not the one doing it anymore. Instead, it is the sin that lives in me that is doing it. So I find that as a rule, when I want to do what is good, evil is right there with me. I gladly agree with the law on the inside, but I see a different law at work in my body. It wages a war against the law of my mind and takes me prisoner with the law of sin that is in my body. I'm a miserable human being. Who will deliver me from this dead corpse? Thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord." Second reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. "To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplaces calling out to others. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He is a demon.' Yet the human one came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved to be right by her works." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and shown them to babies. Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light."
Thank you, Jack, for reading our scripture this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget you are perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We are living through a turbulent time. According to the Pew Research Center, when Americans were asked about their feelings on the current state of our country, 71% of people responded angry. 66% said fearful. 46% hopeful, and only 17% of people were proud of where we are as a nation. Yesterday was Independence Day, a day where we celebrate the birth of a nation founded on liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And we often commemorate that day by recalling the times when we came together in unity to move forward as a nation, living into the notion of becoming a more perfect union. And we tell the American story, a story that includes people of diverse backgrounds building a just community where people have what they need. However, this year might have felt different. That story, which is often told in high school textbooks, can feel disingenuous these days. Our Black neighbors are reminding us yet again that there is more to the story, and it is playing out with deadly consequences today. We are reckoning with our country's long history of racial disparity that began in 1619 with the first slave ship on our shores. The coronavirus has demonstrated our inability to come together to protect each other and the most vulnerable. And while all of this is going on, deplorable immigrant detention centers on our southern border continue to separate families. All of this should make us question who we really are as a nation, should also make us feel uneasy. So if you find yourself in the anger or fear category, you are not alone. Although it makes it matters worse when we can't be together. When public gatherings, those are those places where we can find comfort. Another survey asked how uncomfortable people felt about gathering in public spaces. And 91% of people were uncomfortable going to crowded parties. 77% going out to eat, 42% were uncomfortable getting groceries, and 38% were uncomfortable visiting close friends and family. For many of us, these are the places that give us comfort, rest, enjoyment, or balance in the midst of our lives that are guaranteed to have bumps in the road. This morning, as Jack read, Jesus says to an entire generation, "Put on my yoke and learn from me, and you will find rest." Jesus invites us to rest, even in these turbulent times, and I'm sure we could all use that these days. This morning's gospel lesson follows two important events. First, Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry of serving the most vulnerable will guarantee their persecution. The second is that John the Baptist has been put in prison for his ministry in the wilderness. Tension is high in the region as Jesus addresses a politically and religiously diverse crowd. Some of the people are his disciples, others are the religious elites from the temple, and some like Jesus and others really do not like Jesus. Preaching in the public square, Jesus begins by telling the diverse crowd a parable. The parable centers around a group of children who are in this busy marketplace. In this busy marketplace, people are going left and right, going about their day. And so the children, using music, hope to get these busy people to feel and experience what they are going through. They hope that by playing their flutes, those in the marketplace who are feeling happy or joyful will stop and dance. Who knows, maybe a few brave dancers will inspire others to dance with them. So they play their flute, but no one dances. So that didn't take. The children regroup, thinking perhaps people aren't happy right now. Perhaps people need to grieve the death of someone or grieve a difficult event in their life. Maybe people need a funeral song. That could be what they have to have. So they sing the funeral song, but no one stops to mourn. The marketplace just continues on as if the children weren't even there. Everyone is hurrying and worrying about the next thing on their list. Jesus finishes his parable and adds that he and John the Baptist represent the music not being listened to. Jesus tells them that John the Baptist came as a prophet of God, accessible and speaking God's healing word, but they called him a demon and sent him to jail. Then Jesus calls attention to himself, referring to himself as the Son of Man, or as the CEB more correctly translates, the human one. Frustrated, Jesus explains that he, the human one, is with them, healing one another, extending God's love to the stranger, revealing God's truth in a way that they can understand. But this generation, this generation called him a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now, while Jesus may not have taken offense to being calling a friend of tax collectors or sinners, a glutton or a drunk, on the other hand, certainly misrepresented his ministry. And Jewish people who were familiar with the Torah may have made the link to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 20, where gluttony or drunkenness was associated with rebellious children. So the people could not see that God's love was fully present in the actions of Jesus. And their sight was so bad that they accused Jesus of acts of rebellion against God. People have shut themselves off from recognizing the saving acts of God through Jesus by continuing to look for salvation in the busyness of everyday life. Jesus is the song being played right in front of them. He is inviting them to listen and live in the arms of God, but they will not listen. We may be quick to hear this parable and claim that we are either the children playing the music, or if we were in the marketplace, we would respond with dancing. But let's face it, most days, we are the people in the marketplace, just going about their day. Even with so many of us social distancing, an amazing opportunity to be quiet and really listen for how God is with us, we are quick to distract ourselves with anything but that. We distract ourselves from what we need, from what will give us meaning and purpose. We ignore the Christ in our midst and look for that meaning in our jobs, in our bank account, in the validation of coworkers or those close to us, or maybe even politicians. And we are usually left unfulfilled and exhausted. And we just want to rest. Now, I know we have some teachers joining us this morning for worship. And so I'm speaking to you. You all know the best way to teach students is not making them read something and regurgitate it back. But good teachers demonstrate. They show their students exactly what it is they want them to learn. A math teacher will show students a problem using the quadratic equation on the board. An English teacher will label parts of speech and show them what she means. An agriculture teacher might take their students outside and learn about soil by putting their hands in the dirt. And as a spiritual teacher, Jesus teaches the crowd to listen for the music and demonstrates that right in front of them, what it means to truly connect with God in turbulent times. And he does this through prayer. And he prays this: "No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him." Jesus, who early refers to himself as the human one, demonstrates the oneness he experiences with God in prayer. It is in the intimacy of prayer, in the relating with God, where God knows him fully, and they are united. And you can't distinguish one from the other. Jesus demonstrates that this relationship can't be found solely in one's work, or in one's bank account, or in the busyness of the marketplace, but by pursuing God in all that one does. And in so doing, realizing God's song is always being played. And the result of this is rest. Jesus invites the crowd to put on his yoke, a yoke that is tuned to God through prayer and acts of love. Jesus' yoke may mean persecution, but in it there is meaning, understanding, and rest. It begins with an invitation. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are struggling and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." Put on my yoke. This week, some of you may have read or saw a news story about Jonathan Irons. Irons, a black man from Missouri, was wrongfully convicted to 50 years in prison for a crime he never committed. In recent years, his case has received public attention, particularly from Maya Moore, a WNBA basketball star who took a vested interest in seeing justice for Irons. In the prime of her career, Maya quit basketball to focus on correcting his case. This week, Jonathan was freed from jail after serving 23 years behind bars for a crime he did not commit, with large thanks to Maya's activism. Asked by reporters if it was hard for her to walk away from basketball to pursue justice for Ian, she responded with this: "It was hard, but when your convictions are moving you to a place that you know is right, and you are moving into something that is meaningful, it is less hard." Jesus says, "Put on my yoke." Then she was asked, "What did it feel like when you found out that Jonathan was freed?" And this is what Maya said: "In that moment, I felt like I could rest." "Put on my yoke," Jesus says, "and you will find rest." Not only does Jesus demonstrate the importance of prayer, but prayerful actions, like Maya. To say yes to following Jesus does not entail a stress-free life, as we all know, but a oneness with God, a peace only known in the presence and comfort of God, a rest that can fulfill us even in these turbulent times. Listening to Maya should make our feet dance and respond to the risen Christ in our midst. In a few moments, we are invited once again to tune ourselves to the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. We are not called because we are worthy, but because we are hungry. We are hungry for that rest. At the table, we experience the mystery of God's grace in its fullest, which has the power to nourish us even in these turbulent times, and has the power to transform us to continue lives of prayerful action. May it be so. Amen. So I invite you, if you have the bulletin in front of you, we have the lyrics printed for "O Come, Come, O Fount of Every Blessing." And so I'll play the background music, but you are invited to sing along. And you are on mute, so let yourselves be heard where you are.
Thank you.
to come together in prayer. We have a couple prayer requests to lift up. We have prayers for Jim's father, John, who was taken to the hospital on Friday with chest pains. He is now home, but they are monitoring the situation. So we keep John in our prayers, and we keep John's family in our prayers this morning. This coming Friday, Jack will be having surgery at the hospital in town. So we pray for Jack that the surgery goes well and that he can make a good and strong recovery. So Jack, we'll keep you in our prayers this morning. And we also keep in prayers all those who are struggling with this virus, those who have contracted it, family and friends who are isolated, and also those who have businesses or trying to find the means to live and keep going. This is a struggle for everyone. No one is untouched from this. So we're all in this together. So we pray for everyone who is feeling that burden this morning. So let us come to God in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, who calls to us and who provides us with much needed rest, help us to be still in this moment of prayer, to let go of the hurry and worry of the marketplace, to stop and listen to how you are meeting us in this moment. God, we struggle to take these pauses. We struggle to find balance in our day-to-day lives. We often rely on our own strength and determination, but it is tiresome work and usually leaves us exhausted. Give us ears to listen, O God. Help us listen to the flute being played over the crowd so that we may dance in our joy. Help us to hear the funeral song so that we will weep in our grieving. Help us to rest when we are just too tired. Help us to live our lives to the fullest. Loving God, we pray that you are with our leaders. We pray that their decisions allow this life to flourish for all. God, we pray for all those that need rest this morning. May they experience your peace that is founded on grace. Gracious God, we also lift up in prayer Jack and John. We lift them up in hope that you are with them in their situation, bringing hands of healing and comfort in their time. And God, right now in our silence, we lift up the unspoken prayers that are on our hearts. And God, we pray this in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we transition into our celebration of Holy Communion, you're invited to have your elements before you as we break bread together and drink from the cup together. And we're reminded that whenever we come to this meal, even virtually, we are invited by the Christ. We are invited to find nourishment in this meal, in the bread and in the cup. And we're also reminded that this table is not our table. It's not the church's table. This is God's table, where all are welcome to partake in this feast. And let us join in the liturgy that you can find in your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, and move among these elements assembled at our tables. Through this sacrament, transform our hurt into healing, our fear into faith, and death into life. As the grain sown in hills and valleys is harvested and now becomes one in the loaf, so we, scattered,
diverse, separated, and isolated from one another, hear your invitation to become one body around this table, center of our life together.
I can read liturgist.
I got it. I thought my mic was on. Sorry.
Okay, you're good.
As the juice grown in vineyards under the sun fills the cup, may we be filled and refreshed by this meal.
And strengthened to respond to your call to reach out in compassion to all living things. In sharing the meal, we remember. We remember meals Jesus shared with friends and enemies, outcast and marginalized, fearful and earnest. Jesus took the bread, giving thanks, blessed it and broke it, and shared it with his friends as a symbol of his sacrifice. As we share the bread today, we eat it as those who seek to follow Jesus.
After the meal, Jesus took the cup. Giving thanks, he shared it with his friends, symbolizing a new relationship with God, a relationship of partnership founded on grace.
As we share the cup, we seek to experience that grace in which Jesus lived fully. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking, that our eyes might be opened and that we might recognize the risen Christ in our midst, indeed in one another. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bread of life, take and be fed. The cup of blessing, take and be refreshed. Let us join together in our prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So now we come to the time of reflection on giving. Our reminder to let you know that the bills continue to be paid, and we continue to do our ministry in spite of the virus and this time that we're living in. So we invite you to give your offering. You can do it by mailing it to the church office, or you can do it by dropping it off at the church. And our church hours are still, I've gone back up. So you can see that we are coming back, but we ask that you wear a mask. We'll have hand sanitizer and Sandy will buzz you in just to take those extra precautions in these moments. You can also give online. So if you go to the website, you'll see a little circle on our webpage, and you can just click the give button and it'll set it up. Also in the chat, yes, Jim has put the link to that offering on our webpage. So if you're on Zoom, you're invited to use that as well. So how will we do God's work in the world this week? Well, it might look like taking rest for ourselves. Taking rest in prayer, taking a pause in our day-to-day life, and really trying to connect with God in those pauses. And I posted on our Facebook page, and I will work on getting it up on our webpage too, a link to the UCC's daily devotions. They send it to your email, and there's a scripture and a small commentary and a small prayer. And so if you're looking for a resource these days to help you connect, that's a wonderful resource that the UCC provides. So before we get to the benediction, let us join in our hymn, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ. And so you can follow along in your bulletin. So go out into the world knowing that Jesus has invited you to listen with ears the song that God is at work in your lives. And so now, refreshed by this meal, go out into the world knowing that you don't go alone, but you always go with your Creator, your Redeemer, and your Sustainer. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace.